Tonight on our weekly comprehensive Bible study with David Paxton, David and JD explore the powerful legacy of Sarah, the mother of promise, and model of enduring faith.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Last Christian. This is our Bible study. We skipped a week because we had Tom on here, and that was fun, from lordsbook.com. Make sure you get over there, because it's going to take over social media in the Christian world. It's going to be great. Today, we're going to continue about Sarah. Okay, now I know we're in Genesis, but we're actually going to look in the New Testament today. There's a lot about her in the New Testament because there's some implications, spiritual implications about her. And Joel has some awesome insights as well. Joel, can you join us?
Absolutely. Mr. Paxton will be happy to. You know, I was
a very nice apartment you have back there. I see.
Oh well, yeah, you know how that is. But anyway, you know, I was really shocked, David, by the amount of information that was in the New Testament that spoke about Sarah. I thought that was extremely interesting when I was doing my research for tonight.
Yeah, and so we're just going to look at them and we'll examine what each one says. Maybe get some commentary on it and see what's out there. So how about you pray us in?
Sure, be glad to. Father, we come to you and we praise your name, number one, and we thank you for this opportunity and hope that this show will reach the ears of those that need to hear it the most. I hope that any questions that are asked will receive the answer that some individual out there needs in order to draw them in and allow them to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then let the Holy Spirit just take it over. We can only lead, Father, and we know that, but we're going to do our very dead level best today to lead someone to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, amen. We agree. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention how people can help support us if they are led to by the Lord.
Right.
We've been working with a company called Oliabo, and it's actually brand new. It's in the launch. But you can find out more about that, how you can support us. And there's even an opportunity for you in there. If you're business-minded, there's some good business ideas in there. It's GoOliveUSA.com.
Amen.
GoOliveUSA.com. And you could check it out and see what you think and let us know.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So we're talking about Sarah, and we're looking in the now you had the verse. What was your favorite one coming out of there? Because I got them all here. I don't even know where to start.
Oh, wow, David, favorite.
You like Romans, Galatians, Hebrews?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put the first one up here that I had, okay,
which is
Hebrews, and this is Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12. And it says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Looking at that, David, it says, therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead.
Dead, I tell you.
That's crazy.
It is.
He's really, really old, people. That's the point she's making. He's really, really old.
And the weird part is he still had more kids after that.
Right.
So it's like God like renewed him. That's I think there's a lesson in there somewhere for us. But this is the great faith chapter. It talks about all the faith. And we always talk about the faith of Abraham and all the saints and everything, but I rarely hear something about actually Sarah's faith. And that's what the big, you know, that's really what it was. Because if she didn't have any faith, you know, we don't have Isaac, we don't have Israel, we don't have the Messiah, we don't have the Bible.
Yeah.
When you think about it, that's pretty intense. Because all of our scripture came through Sarah, basically. So what would happen if, like, Sarah's like, nah,
I'm out.
I ain't doing it.
All right.
I'm old. I want to watch Golden Girls and eat bonbons. No. She's like, she had faith and she wanted to see the Lord. So we see in Hebrews 11:11, it says, mm-hmm. by faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, uh-huh. even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Mm-hmm. I think there's a big thing in there that's something to consider. She wasn't saying, hey, can I do it? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think there's way too much of that today. Hey, believe in yourself. No, you can do it. Yeah, just believe in. No, yeah. She had no faith in herself whatsoever. Matter of fact, even to the point of saying, hey, take my maid and go have a baby with her. That's just weird to me. And yeah, but because she knew, and she was like 89 at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But she heard the promise of God. She considered him faithful who had made the promise.
Right.
So similar to Mary, because we got the same situation on the other end of the age scale there, where it's like, so, you know, be it unto me as you say. Mm-hmm. So it says, listen, I have no idea how this is going to work, but let's just go with it. All right. I'm in. Therefore, there was born even one man, and him as good as dead, and that as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and immeasurable as the sand which is on the seashore.
Yeah, I'll put it back up on screen.
Notice how I slowed down and said that?
Yeah, and I put it back on screen again for those of you that are watching. If you're not watching us in video form, I do encourage you to go to lastchristian.net. We now have a total of 5 video platforms that you can choose from. So, you know, mm-hmm. you should be able to find your favorite video platform. Just go to lastchristian.net. And select your favorite video platform. If you're still wanting to just listen to the shows, we also have an audio library on there, and I can't even remember how many audio places that we're on.
One gazillion.
Yeah. And of course, all the social media and all that kind of stuff is all out there, too. So,
yeah, the cool stuff.
Yeah, if you want to find us, believe me, it's not hard. It's just not hard.
Yeah, lastchristian.net.
Mm-hmm. .net. Yeah, don't do .com. Don't do .com. I'm not paying $10,000 a year for a .com, okay? We went with .net, okay?
Yep. But so check it out. I want to go on this, too. You know, we often talk about, number one, the sandwiches by the seashore.
Mm-hmm.
I have to open a place. I'm saying I'm going to do this. I'm going to open a sandwich shop on the beach and called it Sandwiches by the Seashore.
Well, David, I might have bought into that you were going to do this right up until the time that you put one foot in a moving van and you're moving to a place where there is no water.
I'll just have Abraham run it. I'll hire him.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's what it says. It says here, the stars of heaven in number and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a lot.
Every single time I see this, I have to reiterate the fact that Israel is not the church and the church is not Israel.
Right.
Okay. Because people will use this. Hey, we're the descendants of Abraham and we inherit the blessings. Well, of course we do. And his seed is indeed one seed. It's through the Messiah. But the Messiah has two different crops, and it's mm-hmm. it's borne out all over the place, mm-hmm. all over the place. Just in the fact that we got the two sons here, Ishmael and Isaac.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, Ishmael was promised something really good.
Yes.
Okay. But he's going to be a brawler for a while. And, you know, for nothing, I can see it now happening in Iran. So remind me to come back to that.
Okay.
Okay. And just write down Iran,
mm-hmm.
okay, because that's the promise due to Ishmael. But he says it'll be as the stars of the heavens and as numerable as the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at the metaphor. Do you really think Abraham was not smart enough to figure out how many stars there were, so he had to tell him something else? Oh, the sand too? No, there's two different things for a reason. If it's weird, there's a reason for it.
There's a reason for it.
And it's important.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the church is analogous of the descendants of Abraham that are as the stars, because we rule and reign in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to stop you for 1 second. You know, this whenever the Bible says something twice, we've said this before, but you know, there's the Bible will say something and then it repeats it, but it puts it in a different order. That's something to listen to. But what you were just saying there is there's two completely different things, but it's in that back-to-back order, you know, the stars versus the sand. If it was, if everybody was a direct descendant of Abraham, for instance, he would have said, you know, as great as the multitude and the stars and multitude or something like that. Mm-hmm. But instead, it's two completely different metaphors.
Correct. And there's an and in there. So, and that means it's two different things. It's both. You know, many descendants as the stars of heaven in number and innumerable as the sand.
There you go. Okay.
So the church is metaphorically who reign and the descendants of Abraham and reign with Christ in the heavenlies. But then we don't recognize this. Israel is actually going to rule on the earth.
Right.
You know, under the headship of Christ again, they will receive their Messiah, but they have a different role. And we in Christianese always lump everybody into, hey, A, you're going to heaven, or B, you're not. No, there's different roles in heaven. Even John the Baptist said, hey, listen, I am not the bride. I'm just a friend of the bridegroom.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know? And Jesus said, hey, you know, he's the greatest man ever, but the least in the kingdom is greater than he is. Well, that's interesting. If he was the greatest man ever, greatest prophet, how is the least in the coming kingdom greater than he is?
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Because they're different roles. Okay. And that's not, you know, unusual that there's one husbandman for the farm and he's got different crops in different places. We see it all the time. When we see armies, there's different ranks and, you know, and branches of the military.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We see it all over the places. We got the Space Force now, even the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Army, the Coast Guard, all different branches of the military. And they're all under one commander in chief.
Right.
So there's, think of it that way. He's the commander in chief and the ruling class will be the heavenly ruling class of his bride, which would be those who receive Christ in his age of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And the earthly ruling class would be Israel and then any others who accept him after that.
Okay. I'm glad you pointed that one out because I was unsure where the tribulation saints come in on this, whether or not they were going to be in the heavenlies.
Well, it specifically says they will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
So that would be so on they earth. Will. The question becomes, will they be ruling in the heavens or on the earth? It didn't really say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. But it's clearly towards the end of Revelation, it said those who were martyred in the tribulation will be resurrected and rule with him for that 1,000-year reign.
Okay. Okay.
And I
suspect
sounds
like it's on the ground. That to me sounds like it's on the ground, but maybe not. I mean, I'm just taking a guess.
Maybe not. I mean, I would surmise if I put all the pieces together, the puzzle, you know, I see the pieces coming together as they'll most likely be ruling on the ground along with Israel because they're populating the new world that's coming.
Right.
So now all these new people that are coming in, they're going to look at us and say, oh, that's one of the old ones.
Okay, you know? Here comes another off-the-wall question that nobody ever really has an answer to. Maybe you do. But as you were saying, there's going to be 1,000 years there, and there's going to be children born, right? So what happens with them? Or do they get the opportunity to be saved? Or what's the deal there? I've never been able to figure that one out.
You done? Okay.
Yeah,
look at the end of Revelation. What does it say? Gog and Magog is let out again, right?
Yeah, right.
And then they'll go gather and there'll be a great multitude that will gather against Jesus at that last time, but those are going to be scooped up and thrown into the lake of fire. So since people will live right through the millennium, Okay. It literally says that it they'll be weird. It'll be like someone died at 100. It's like, oh, he must have been a bad sinner. He died at 100. Because essentially everyone's going to live right up until the end. And then they'll be able to see Jesus ruling perfectly, righteously for that 1,000-year period. And then at the end, that's when they'll make their decision. Are you going to follow Satan? Or are you going to follow the one who you just watched rule perfectly for 1,000 years?
Yeah. You know, and something about that too, you know, you always, at least me, I always wonder, well, you know, if Jesus is there himself, he's doing this, he's been there for, you know, let's say 900 years out of 1,000, or you know, you'd be an idiot not to follow him, right?
Yeah.
But then again,
you really got to be stupid.
You look at the history of mankind, and I don't care, Democrat or Republican, pick one. After a period of 4 years, 50% of the people ready to throw them out. So, you know, after 900 and something, you know, there's going to be a bunch of people going to be ready to throw him out, right? Even though they don't realize
it. I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, it can't be done. Well, he's here to stay. Okay.
Yeah, he's going to be like, oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
All right, let's go down another rabbit hole there, David.
Don't
we'll get back to Sarah now. Okay.
Well, that's it. This is the whole thing. This Sarah, from way back then, there's 4,000 years now. Imagine that, 4,000 years ago. So here's Sarah, and she's looking ahead. Just like Abraham, you know, he looked to a city that was yet to come. And by faith, and this was Sarah saying, okay, we're going to have all these kids. And then, you know, then the Messiah is going to come and reign, even that long ago. Imagine saying, hey, yeah, well, it'll be 4,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be all right. You know, all of these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance. So this is Sarah's legacy that she believed. She believed the Lord, and here we are because she believed.
Amen. That is
correct. And just amazing to me.
Yeah, without a doubt. David, I got another one. You want to look at it?
What do you got?
Now, again, I'm trying to emphasize to everybody out there, you know, we've been talking about Sarai and Sarah for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah.
And we've focused completely on the Old Testament. We've rarely even mentioned anything about the New Testament, maybe with Abraham a little bit, but not with Sarah for sure. And so when we were getting ready for the show, both David and I did a lot of research on this thing. And this is one I came up with, David, which is from 1 Peter in the New Testament. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 6. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. And here's the one right here in verse 6. Mm-hmm. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Now, I know there's going to be a bunch of people, David, that are going to jump up and yell, oh, you're calling women submissive. Oh, that's a bad thing. Okay. But everybody's got a role.
Yeah, well, that's the age we're in.
Yeah, everybody's got a role in this, you know. And if it's in the Bible, it's true. Read it and don't try to spin it in your own interpretation, but take it in the context of the Bible. And, David, I'll let you do that.
Well, I think the biggest problem is that people have the Muslim idea of subordination and subjection and being in submission.
Right.
And that's not the case. God never does that. It's just, I guess, for lack of a better term, a pecking order, okay, is to be subordinate, just like when you go to your job, okay? Your boss may not be as smart as you, but they're your boss, and that's the order of, you know, the pecking order there. So you're mm-hmm. subordinate to the boss. When you're in the military, you're subordinate to the superior officers. Okay, and that's just the order that God has. He constantly tells us how the wives are a weaker vessel just because of their physical strength, but it actually demonstrates how wise they are and how very important it is to listen to your wives. And it's all over the place. Especially, you know, Jesus had all the women following around that were supporting his ministry. Okay. And they're some of the strongest, you know, it's just the order of things. That's all. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean they're any better. What it really does mean is that a man really can't get along without his wife.
This is true.
But a woman could get along all by herself without a man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. I have no idea how I would survive my whole life
Me either.
Without my wife.
Like, me either.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't even be wearing his jacket right now. I'd be wearing some ripped t-shirt. Yeah, through the hole right here, you know, the coffee stain on it. But that's just the way it is. So there has to be that order. And the man is kind of the go-getter, the hunter, and mm-hmm. he's the kite, where the woman takes care of everything, and she's the tail that stabilizes everything. And the kite can't fly without the tail. It by no means does it mean she's less important or an underling or anything like that.
Well, let me ask you a question here, because I don't remember it from the earlier teachings, and that is, when did Sarah initially find out that she was going to be the mother of nations? In other words, Abraham tell her that, or was it an angel that told her that first?
The angels were having dinner with Abraham, all right?
Okay.
And, you know, just like a typical wife, she's in the kitchen listening.
Okay. Oh, I gotcha.
What's going on?
Okay.
Because she needs to know what's going on.
Okay.
So she listens, and then she laughs. And then the angel says, "Why'd you laugh?" She goes, "What are you talking about? I didn't laugh." "Yes, you did. Now you're going to name your kid Laughter."
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now,
that's what happened.
Is this a good point to bring up the Iran thing? Because you were talking about, you know, the coverings and all that stuff that is in the Islamic world. So this might be a perfect place for that.
Well, we'll revisit that, because he said there's, you know, like the stars of heaven and like the sand on the seashore, there's two different ones. We see the first Adam and the last Adam, right? We see that. We see Abraham had Ishmael, and then he had Isaac. Okay. Then Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Hello. And you see this pattern of there's two there. Now, there is the last Adam, but the last Adam kind of made up for the first one. So we get to go to heaven too. So it's kind of along these lines. And if we see that, yeah, there'll be a brawler and there'll be chaos for quite some time, because mankind, you know, the physical Adam, the first one, we've been just causing nonsense for thousands of years. And yet he still loves us and he still saves us. So I view it that same way, that, you know, Islam Ishmael and Esau, those are the patterns which has borne into the false religion of Islam. But those people, the offspring of Ishmael, the offsprings of Esau, and will be saved. Okay. For the most part, he even talks about Egypt. Egypt is going to be big. It's going to be huge for the gospel. And now we're starting to see that in Iran, you know, that's Persia, mm-hmm. because Iran, they're closing down mosques because everyone's becoming a Christian and they don't know what to do. And now we're starting to see there's protests. You think the protests that we have here are bad. They're protesting against their government.
Yes. Okay?
The regime, they call it.
And that's
and Iran
true.
Is finally.
Yeah, that is true protest that brings on true.
Because they'll kill them.
Death and destruction, yeah, rather than over here where you can scream in a cop's face and throw sandwiches at them or whatever, you know. That wouldn't fly in Iran.
No. No, you jump in front of a police car in Iran, they just run you over. You know, they don't try and push you out of the way and be nice. They're like, oh, oops, what happened? but yeah, the evil regime that tried to take over those people is going to be demolished. And those people of descendants of Ishmael and Esau and, you know, all the Middle East, as a group, will also receive Christ. Okay. But that dichotomy has to fight here. But, you know, I got to say, even most of what the world calls Christian nowadays isn't really Christian anyway, not really on the side of Christ anyway.
Right.
There's a whole nother rabbit hole that the Catholic Church invented the Islam. So they have someone
I've
to
seen
fight.
Some,
That's
I've
a whole
seen
other
discussion.
Story. I don't know.
Yeah, I have seen some discussion on that, and it's something that maybe we'll touch on one of these days. But
there's a deep topic. I am not as well versed on that to have a discussion yet, but that's just some of the things
that
I hear.
Yeah, that's the problem for us right now. Neither one of us know enough about it, you know, and the one thing that we do try to do on this show is present you factual information. We don't want you to we don't want to put something out there and somebody come back and say, no, that's not it. Here, if you read this, you can figure it out for yourself, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we'll bring it on. Maybe you can come on Shadows of a Greater Reality. We can jump down that rabbit hole for a little while.
That's another guy. We've got to get Nestor back on because I'm thinking about Shadows of a Greater Reality, which David co-hosts with Nestor, and they get into some stuff, you know, the occult and all this kind of stuff, but through a Christian lens. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, and bring it back to Christ.
Yeah. But I'm seeing a lot of stuff, David, here in just the last few days about, oh, there's the UFO thing. I mean, it's really coming to the forefront right now. There's I saw it on Fox News just the other day where they're talking about, oh, well, the government's about to release all this information that they've been hiding from the public. I mean, it's ramping up. And the only thing that's going through my mind is the fact that the Lord said, you know, you're going to see the signs in the heavens. Well, you can't think of a better sign in the heaven than a UFO, can you? Okay, here we go. So, you know, we got to get Nestor back on for that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. We dive down those holes, and so he's well-versed in some of those as well. So that's going to be fun. All right, so let's when we come back, we're going to hit Romans chapter 4 and Romans chapter 9. We're going to see some quite fascinating parallels in there, so that's going to be good. Let me just read them for you when we have the chance here, and then we'll come back in the second half and talk about it. So Romans 4, and we'll start in 18, says, "Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." So it's talking about faith again. Believed in God, and not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Okay, and then in chapter 9, that is, they which are children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise, counted for the seed. So we'll get into that. "For this is the word of promise, at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son," because that was promised to her. "And not only this, when Rebecca had conceived," so there's that as well. So there's a lot of interesting stuff coming in the second half, and we'll probably get off another rabbit hole too. But in the meantime,
go ahead.
Yeah, one of the rabbit holes. You know, here's the deal. You are a sinner. You have fallen short of the glory of God. It's laid out in the Old Testament. If you didn't keep it perfectly, you lose. Okay. But Jesus did keep it perfectly, and he paid off that debt for you. So I would admonish you to receive him. And we'll see you guys in the second half. Bye.
Have a message the world needs to hear? Revelation Radio is opening the door for new hosts right now. Launch your own show with no setup fees, no contracts, and worldwide reach through our AM broadcast and global platform. Choose a free 30-minute barter-based program or upgrade to a donation-based show up to 2 hours commercial-free. You bring your voice. We provide the platform, branding, help, and promotion. Visit revelationradio.net and click hosting opportunities to get started today.
Are you ready to live your faith with purpose? Join Norman and Susan Smith on Run With Horses, a bold, biblical show that equips you to grow deeper, lead stronger, and live on mission for Christ. Be sure to join Norman and Susan weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, right here on Revelation Radio. It's time for you to stop walking and learn how you truly can run with horses.
Hey, look at that. We are back.
Yes, we are.
No rapture yet, but we're still looking. So we were in Romans, right, Joel?
Well, you read off a whole bunch, but yeah, Romans, I got Romans 9, if you want to see it.
Yeah, so let's get into 9. And okay. 9:9 is the crux of it all, but okay. We always read around it.
Okay, well, I got it. I got it from 6.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. And here's verse 9 that you wanted to emphasize. For this is the word of promise. At this time, I will come, and Sarah shall have a son.
Mm-hmm. And not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but that him that calleth. And it was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. Mm-hmm. So that's
is
what
that,
we see. Adam was
is that
first,
Ishmael?
He,
is what? What
yeah.
Was that
well, all of them have the same pattern.
Okay.
Adam was the the first Adam, and then the last Adam. Okay, and so the first Adam serves the last one.
Right.
Okay. So we have that same principle. Even Reuben, after that, gave up his firstborn birthright, Jacob's first son. And because it's the skullduggery that he did. But we see that pattern because he wants to emphasize it. It's over and over and over that there's going to be two. And the first one is going to serve the second one. So we also see that in when he says the stars of the heaven. And then as the sand of the sea. Okay. The first one was Israel. But because of their mishaps, let's say, they'll still receive salvation. He said Israel will come to repentance in the end as a nation after 2/3 of them are destroyed. That Israel as a nation will come, but they'll serve because we will rule in the heavenlies with Jesus, but they'll rule on the earth. Okay. So it'll be somewhat subordinate, not inferior, mind you, just again, a different pecking order.
Yeah.
So we see the same kind of idea all through everything. When you really pan it out, I mean, the church doesn't teach any of this.
No.
But this is what they all knew back then. He's talking about the word of promise, and the elders shall serve the younger. Mm-hmm. This was all stuff that they knew.
And no.
It was all legal, too. Everything was about it. Okay, well, this is the contract. This is the firstborn. This is how it goes. This is how everything was set into motion. And, today's church is, you just check the box and then you get into heaven.
Why is that, David? And, why is, because you're right. The church doesn't teach any of this. Why not? What's the holdup? What's the reason for it?
It's just watered down over the years.
Okay.
It started way back when, the Holy Catholic Church started this, but they were run by the government, which
right.
means a couple of things. Number one, they can't oust the government if the government's paying them.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this, hey, I'm in the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of the world stuff didn't fly with them. So they just lost it. And then it just got weaker over the years. And then you get people in there that just MCU all the way through. They make crap up.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to confession and talk. Where does it say that?
Yeah.
That's
what held me up. That is exactly what held me up from being a, there was one thing in there in the Bible that really bothered me, even when I was not a real Christian. Okay, I call myself a Christian, but don't call anyone father. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That really now. Let me tell you something. This is how extreme it was for me. I was in the airline industry, and I was at one time a ticket agent. Okay? And so you got a priest that walks up to you, and on his record, it says Father something or other. I had a really tough time saying it, Father. That's how extreme it was for me, you know. Wow. But also the bead thing and the, you know, Hail Mary. Yeah. And then
that all comes from paganism. The hat.
The mother of God. No, see, I don't believe that, you know, she was a mother of, no, I couldn't agree with that one. I didn't agree with the father thing. I didn't agree that the Pope was like God on earth or something. I didn't believe in that. I didn't believe in the infallibility of a Pope. I didn't believe in any of that crap. And that's the reason that I could never join the Catholic Church, because I've had too many disagreements with them to go along with it.
And not for nothing, then, you know, along comes the Protestants, but that was born out of rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they were rebelling against the right thing, it still has a seed of rebellion. So that's why you see, you know, 1,000 different Protestant denominations.
Right.
Because they all split all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's a split of the
split. It's in their blood. I got to split from the Catholic. Well, we're going to split from each other.
Yeah.
What do you mean you want the piano on the right? The piano goes on the left. That's it. I'm leaving.
Somebody sent me a message. I haven't looked at it yet. And if you're watching the show, I did see your message. And I promise I will reply to it. They said that they had seen people leave the church because of somebody putting fluorescent lights in the basement or something like that. I mean, you know, people come up with all kinds of excuses and reasons to leave a church. It's incredible.
Yeah, I've heard it from the color of the carpet to the lighting, you know, to just so many different things, and it's everywhere because it's the rebellious nature of the church, because the Protestant church is born out of rebellion. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So they're not without fault. Trust me. Right. I guess none of us are, but we try and do our best.
Mm-hmm. No, okay. I took you down a rabbit hole. I'm sorry.
See, I told you we'd be going down a rabbit hole. Okay. That's right, because we're going to run into Sarah. But here again, it's talking about faith.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And believing. It's the children of the promise. So this was the promise that she had. So it wasn't necessarily the physical seed. It's the ones who believe God, even though there's no evidence for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a key. And this is what Sarah did. There's absolutely no logical reason whatsoever in your right mind that you would think Sarah would have a kid.
Right.
Well, that's the perfect time for God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And that's what he wants us to believe. When it's absolutely impossible, you don't see any way possible for this to happen, but yet you trust God that it will happen because he said so.
Yeah. Well, let's look at this one, David, because you brought it up. So I'm going to go ahead and put it up here. This is Galatians 4, 21 through 31. Mm-hmm. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bond woman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bond woman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, for you who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. In verse 28 it says, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise, but as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now, there's a lot in there, David, and you can explain it a heck of a lot better than I can, so I'll just let you turn it loose, sir.
Yeah, it's again, we go into, it's the children of the promise, the ones who believe, the one who believe beyond all common sense, you know? And if you don't, then you're a son of the slave woman, okay, and that or daughter, and that means you don't inherit anything.
Right.
You're not going to be there. So we see all through time that the same kind of picture. There's always this two again, and it's always one or the other that we see, the children of the promise or the ones that are according to the flesh. And that's what it was even from the beginning. That was the great lie, you know. Well, we're going to, that tree looks good. That's what she said. Well, it looks good for food. Mm-hmm. Let me go ahead and eat that. You know, so that was the being of the flesh where Eve said that, as opposed to the spirit. God said, no, don't eat it, because in that day you shall surely die.
Right.
And for there's hope there, too. For a woman, it says, who doesn't have children, it's got actually more children than the one who did. So that's interesting. It's kind of a unique
now, on that.
That's a whole other can of worms.
Do you know how many kids Hagar had? I mean, we know Sarah had one, but
yeah, I think it was just Ishmael. We don't hear any others.
Okay.
You know, but he had the. I think he was the father of 12 kings. If you read some of the other books like Jubilees and whatnot, so it's, There's a lot, and you can see them. They're all over there. Everybody's a king over here, and it can prince this and prince that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But they're starting to come around too. The Prince of Kuwait. Did you see that recently?
No, I didn't.
So here's his long-term Muslim family, and one of the princes that's due to inherit everything has become born again.
Oh wow. Okay. No, I hadn't seen that. And I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, Prince of Kuwait. Abu Dhabi something. It's always an Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, it's always Abu Dhabi.
Abu Yabba Dabba Doo. Sorry, but I didn't mean to make fun of your name. Well, a little bit. But I make fun of my own name too. Here's the thing. He said that, everybody hates me now. He's disowned by his family and all this stuff. He said, well, they can kill me, but when they do, I'll immediately be in the presence of my Savior for eternity. So that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's bold enough to say that. Imagine that, being the prince of a nation and coming out against the, you know, the family religion that he knows is going to ostracize him and kill him publicly.
To
try and make him a picture of what they'll do.
Right.
Use him as a prototype.
Yeah.
And ironically, that's causing a lot of people to receive Christ. Now they're getting bold and say, well, I'm standing with the prince too.
Amen.
So that's really interesting. So we're starting to see that come over there too. But then again, that now with Jesus, he's got the new contract that says, okay, now I am children of promise. Now, now he's not a son of the bond woman anymore, but a son of the free woman. So now he can become an heir, and that's what's eventually going to happen to most of them. So that's going to be wonderful.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. So did we read Hebrews yet?
Well, only 11:11, I think. That's about
11:11.
Yeah. I believe that was it.
Oh, yeah. Even by faith, Sarah received her ability to conceive. Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was the only one from Hebrews.
All right, and then we read 1 Peter.
Mm-hmm. 2 Peter. Yeah, 1 Peter, I'm sorry. Yes. And
all right, so let's move on down the road.
Okay.
So where the barrenness in the pattern of the impossible birth. So from Genesis 11:30 onward, the narrative insists that Sarah was barren, and her womb is later called dead.
Yeah.
So we saw that in Romans 4:19, and barren, which we just read in Hebrews 11:11. So God elects Abram, actually, at the time, and immediately puts the promise under threat by choosing a barren wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So right out of the gate, he's like, the wife's barren, and he's like, yeah, but you promised me all this seed. So he was setting it up from a long time ago.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And the covenant seed, like he was just talking about in Galatians, was not through the flesh, natural fertility, but it's a miraculous intervention.
Right.
And that's what the seed of the promise is, a miraculous intervention. So I got to stop. Sometimes we talk Christianese and we think everybody knows what they mean.
Yeah.
But that's why we stop.
Well, take a look at this, David. Look at this one, because this may be where you're going. I'm not sure. But you got Hebrews 11, model of faith. 1 Peter 3 is a model of godly womanhood. Romans 4 and 9, proof of divine promise. Galatians 4, symbol of freedom and grace. And Romans 9, 7, in Isaac shall your seed be called, affirming the promise through Sarah. Then you've got Matthew 1, which is an implied lineage, Jesus flowing through Isaac. Romans 4:19, where Paul affirms her body was dead. You've already stated that a couple of times, making the miracle even greater, because that's what God likes. He likes the impossible that he makes possible. Hebrews 6.
Let's wait another 18 years.
Yeah, Hebrews 6, 13 and 14, again, an implied part here that God swears his promise to Abraham, which includes Sarah's role. And then Luke 13:16, Jesus refers to a woman as daughter of Abraham, establishing Sarah as the spiritual mother of the faithful. So I don't know. I think you were kind of picking around that a little bit, and I just thought I'd throw all those up real quick.
You know, and we can go on, but I just wanted to make it clear because, we understand because, we've been talking Christianese for quite some time. So we're like, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. But I wanted to back up a little bit.
Yeah.
And for those who may not know, it was a miraculous intervention. That's what he was talking about when he said, that believes in the promise.
Right.
Well, okay, believe in the promise. I promise I'll do this. No, it was literally like this was impossible, but God came through.
Yeah.
And Isaac's birth is miraculous because she couldn't have a kid, but it led to Israel's existence as that miracle nation, ultimately pointing towards the utterly impossible, the virgin conception of Christ.
Amen.
Okay. So here it is. Someone who couldn't possibly have a baby has a baby. Okay. And now that same pattern goes, the first Adam, and then we see that come through. Now the second Adam, he was born out of this promise, which was utterly impossible. That's just impossible because she didn't know a man. So how does that happen?
Patterns in the Bible. Has anybody ever come up with that before? I mean, I'm sure they have. But patterns, the Bible is all about patterns,
It is.
Yeah.
And that was a prototype, and he does this all the time. And why does he do that? He does that because there are other dimensions. I would believe there is 10 dimensions, and we live in 4 of them. Mm-hmm. That would be length, height, width, and time. But he blocked us out of the other ones. So just like if you have Mr. and Mrs. Flat, they only know this plane, and they can't tell what's up here and what's down here, and I could be really close to them. They wouldn't know because they only live in these two planes. Well, God could be really close to us in these other dimensions. We just happen to be Christians and call them the spiritual world.
Right.
But they're literal other dimensions. Time is a physical dimension. I don't know if people realize that. It's physical. And so there's other physical dimensions. We just call them spiritual because they're subatomic and we can't even fathom what they look like right now. We have shadows of what they look like, which is why our show is called Shadows. Because it's literally just a shadow of what else is out there.
So
when you go subatomic, you get into the quantum level stuff. So they're just starting to understand the mathematics of quantum physics. Yeah. They have no clue how it works. And they say, this is absolutely ridiculous, but it's absolutely true at the same time, even though it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Quantum physics. So in these subatomic levels or these spiritual world you know, we see that's where the angels live, and that's where God is in the heaven of the heavens and has his throne, mm-hmm. Even outside of that, then he has to give us some metaphors and patterns that we understand. Because if it came out right and told us what our relationship with Christ is, we'd be like, what? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right?
Well, it's like, okay. It's kind of like you're my son. All right. Yeah. Mm. And it's kind of like you're my bride. Mm. Okay. That I love you this much. It's kind of like you're an heir and a joint heir and you rule and reign with me. And it's kind of like you're my servant. All right. So there's that subordinate. So even though we rule and reign with him, we're still a bond servant of Christ. So there's that, the whole, you're demeaning woman thing. No. Even though she's, in that pecking order, you're still equal. Okay. Cause he said, we're made equal with Christ because we rule and reign together with him and he shed his blood for us. Now we are not Christ. Okay. But he, through his blood, has given us that position.
Right. Yeah.
Now, but we're also ambassadors for Christ. That means we go forth and we set this out all out. So there's lots and lots of metaphors on our relationship with Christ just to give some kind of a shadow of what it really looks like when we're with him.
Yeah.
Okay. Because remember, we're made in his image and after his likeness or their likeness.
Yeah,
that makes a crazy our image after our life.
Yeah, that's a crazy one there. I always struggle to even imagine what that really means. I mean, I know it's real. It's just hard to put it into
the realm of things.
Yeah, your little mind. I'm just not capable.
So and just like we're new creatures in Christ, he says, "Behold, I make all things new," right?
Right.
He says, you are no longer that old man, but you're a new creature in Jesus. So we're all new. And so we see that same pattern here. Sarai becomes Sarah because they added the hay. And then the hay is the breath of God. So the breath of God comes into Sarai and becomes Sarah. Mm-hmm. Now she's the princess.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the breath of God comes into us. We're breathed alive again. And here we go. Now we're new creatures in Christ. And the exact same thing happened to Abraham.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He added the hay. Mm-hmm. So that's the breath of God. So she becomes the mother of nations and then kings of peoples. Mm-hmm. So what's called the lexical range of Sarah is princess or noble woman. All right. And Jewish commentary often sees this promotion from princess to princess over many.
Yeah.
So it's the same idea of Abraham is exalted father or unto the father of nations. So it has that implication too. Well, yeah, you're nice and all, but now I'm going to make you the nice over many. So just the fact that he changed their name, now every time they call each other, they add that hay in there. And it's reminding them, oh, yeah, that's right, of many. I'm a princess over many. Yes, I'm a princess over many. So that keeps the faith going, because faith without works is dead.
Right.
So we see that's why he changes their names. That's the point they changes their names. When he said, you're going to have a kid.
Yeah. Well, let's look at this one, David. Oh, we're getting down
here.
Yeah, I got one more. Okay, I want to get into this one real quick. This is the death. Okay, Sarah's death and the prophetic significance of that. She's the only woman in the Bible whose age at death is recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's significant in itself. 127 years old when she died. Abraham purchases the cave of, I don't know how to say that word, Machpelah.
Machpelah.
Okay. And that as a burial site. It was the first permanent Hebrew possession in the Promised Land. And this becomes a prophetic anchor because you've got Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Rebekah, and Leah all buried there. It's the first. Mm-hmm. It is the physical foundation of the land promise. And then her lasting legacy, Sarah stands as, number one, a testimony to God's power over the impossible, a model of faith, resilience, repentance, and perseverance, and then a prophetic matriarch whose life helped shape the entire redemptive story. Now, I thought those were all some pretty powerful points right there.
Yeah, that's just crazy when you think about it. Mm-hmm. What if she said no?
We probably wouldn't be here on this show. Well, we wouldn't be here talking on the show today.
I mean, I'm sure he'd figure it out another way, but maybe that's it. He's like, maybe there was someone else and she did say no. It's like, okay, I'm going with Sarah then. I'll see.
We'll never know. Well, yeah, we will. We'll know.
Eventually will. That'd be an interesting story. Mm-hmm. You know, that'd be like The Life of Brian. Remember that movie?
Mm-hmm. Brian's song?
No, Life of Brian.
No, I don't remember that. I remember
it was
Brian's
Monty
song.
Python.
Oh, okay.
And the three wise men went to the wrong house.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy Brian, they thought he was Jesus, you know, the whole time.
Okay, yeah, that sounds like something Monty Python would pull.
Yeah. So it was all, it was utterly ridiculous. It was so funny. Okay, and he says, "No, this isn't the house of Jesus." He's like, "But we've got gold." And Frankenstein says, "Oh, this is it. Come on in.
Come on in. Yeah, share that stuff."
Oh, yes, I forgot.
That's awesome. This legacy of Sarah is incredible when you really think about it. I mean, there's so much there. You know, I mean, we've been on it for 3 weeks now, and still there's a lot still out there.
But
I'll let you go, David. Yeah, you got it till the end here. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Because, I mean, you'll see Sarah in the Apocrypha and what they call Second Temple literature, the pseudepigrapha. You like that word, pseudepigrapha? I got to spell that out.
Okay.
Okay. And so you can read in there. It does fill in a few gaps, okay? The genealogy. All right, we don't have much time to get into it, but you can look into the different things. In the Book of Jubilees, it fills in some gaps in her relationships. Egypt episode is expanded, so you can see that in there. You see her death and burial. It describes a little bit more about that. So like I said, Jubilees is kind of an expanded Genesis for everything that you have those questions about it. You can look at Jubilees, and it'll most likely answer some of those questions.
Right.
Like the giants. All we see about the giants are the sons of God, so the daughters of men, and they are giants. Okay, next. It's like,
yeah, that's pretty much it.
Story?
Yeah, it's quick.
Oh, that's in Enoch. Go read that. Okay. You know, I ain't got time for that right now. We got better things to look at. And in Jubilees, she's consistently aligned with the chosen line. Jubilees expands on how the Jewish people, the offspring of Jacob, Israel, was the chosen people to do these things. So it doesn't mean they're special. It means, okay, you're going to be called out because this is what I want you to do, and you're going to bring the word of God to the world. The Messiah is going to come through you, and you're going to do all these things. But he consistently, over the millennia, chastised them because they're apostate. He's like, you're like a wayward wife. But in the end, they will receive their Savior. What a beautiful thing. You too can receive the Savior, because now he's the king over all the nations. And he came and paid off that debt for you, because you didn't believe him at first either. But now you can. You could be a child of promise. Just trust in his miracles that he's going to do it, whether you can do it or not. And that starts with him paying off all of your sin debt. So, Lord willing, we will see you guys in the next show. You guys have a blessed day. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this in-depth Bible study on the legacy of Sarah, reminding us that her faith continues to speak to every believer today, and that God keeps his promises and fulfills his word in his perfect time. To stay connected, visit lastchristian.net for more teachings, updates, and ways to support this listener-supported ministry. And remember to join us every evening at 9 Eastern, 8 Central for another edition of The Last Christian Radio Show.
Have you ever wanted your own radio show? Revelation Radio is opening the door right now. Host your program across East Texas and worldwide online. With no setup fees and no contracts, choose a free 30-minute barter slot or a donation-based show up to 2 full hours commercial-free. You bring the content, we provide the platform, branding help, promos, and global reach. Your message deserves an audience. Go to revelationradio.net, click hosting opportunities, and get started today.